Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, April, there you go, May 15th, 2016, right?
I think you've actually got the correct month. Yes, Grant.
I thought I had it, but you know, I should have written it down, but I apologize. I can start over. Can I start over? It is May 15th, 2016. It's my show, the Grant and Taylor Hughes Show, and I'm Grant and Taylor Hughes. And it's also 6:30 p.m. in the on the East Coast, Hello, everybody. And Gabrielle Foster is my guest host each week. I'm not drunk, honestly. I'm really not, just for the record. So, but I was in a rush at the last minute, so that's when I got to the computer. I went, okay, whatever. Okay, so here we are. Lucky you. So each week we have real serious subject matter that we, I'm one of people really appreciate that I don't get real serious about the international bankruptcy each week. Even though it would appear to be very serious, it really isn't from the standpoint that, albeit we have a fix for this insolvency, we can't really implement it per se. And I've said it many, many times over why we can't implement it, because it's a problem with the mathematics and inaccuracy with the whole thing. So it's a real mess economically and internationally. People know it. Everyone knows it. The hierarchy knows it. And they don't really know what to do with it. They throw up their hands and just go about their daily business of trying to scrape by. And then people like myself that have come up with a fix for it, they can't implement it. At least we are showing a thesis. At least we have information that has a possibility. Whether we can implement it or not, that's an entirely different story, okay? But we're not in the dark ages anymore because we have a thesis. We have information. Before 2004, we did not have an answer to that problem. We were in a dark age. It was really an economic dark age, and people really didn't know it. I mean, people would make remarks about this and that, hint at it, but they didn't know specifically what the problem was. And then I came to fruition in terms of getting an answer for it, and now we have a thesis. So we have the Hegelian dialectics shored up in terms of thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, right? So we have a thesis, or a neo-thesis, if you will, a new thesis that gets us there in terms of the information highway. You like that? Thank you very much.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think I started out pretty well this week. What do you think?
Okay. Am I giving you some kind of critique right now for everyone on the show?
Well, I blew the intro.
I'm going to go write up a critique and come back and read it to everyone.
Well, I blew the intro, so I figured, well, maybe I can make up for it with some real heightened wisdom, per se. it is a problem when we don't have knowledge, when we don't have information, and people are lost. But on my political show this morning, I said that people are running around miserable because they don't have knowledge, and they run from celebration to celebration, party to party, to try to get a few laughs, and then anesthetize themselves with drugs and pharmaceuticals and drink. Hey, hot stuff, right? Anesthetizing themselves, right? You like that one?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
That's pretty much what society does.
Well, but where are the answers to it? You know, I do the very level best I can to try to do that. And they have a word, esimplicisticism, which means putting things together that are very complex. I've been doing that my whole life, you know. I get information, I go, well, this, and this, and then try this. And people go, well, that's very interesting. But to me, it's just being a Fluxinus and a Hill Pilticator, being a negative critic, taking things apart and putting it back together again. It's like a puzzle. I was always very good at those 1,000-piece puzzles. I can see them and put them together very fast, you know. So maybe that's part of it, you know, being able to see things, a supervisor, if you will, seeing things from afar and then putting it together. But that's all right. If you can't do it, fine. the point I try to make with that is when you see these things clearly, I think there's a responsibility. So you have to get to the podium as quickly as possible to give a viewpoint. But essentially, you have to be accountable, too, at that point. If you're going to participate or you're going to give out information, then you have to be ready for accountability, in my opinion. That's why all these regression therapies and all these people, they get up at the podium and start blathering on, and then whatever they say is God, and I don't agree with that, see? And just like Spinoza, I'll question even God from that standpoint. And he was excommunicated, if you can call it that, from the Jewish faith. He was kicked out, if you will, because he questioned God. It doesn't mean he was atheist. If people read his work, he wasn't atheist. He was just asking questions. See, so what do you do in our society? You ask a question, then they say you're causing waves and all that. You're supposed to go with the flow, go along with the agenda, the propaganda that's out there. And if you question anything, then you're some kind of iconoclast and troublemaker. And I'm saying let's pay attention to the question. You see what I mean? But we just don't do that because it's always an attitude thing. They take the attitude over the information, specific wording or whatever the posing of the question is. They'll discard it to the attitude, like the emotional content, more so than the actual verbatim content of the information. They'll take that before, you know, if you're not doing it in a, they even have books on this nonviolent presentation or whatever that's supposed to mean. When we're speaking, where's the violence? I've heard my dissertations and recordings and what have you, and the only thing that when I'm giving and fomenting or whatever I'm doing, I'm supposed to be upset, I listen to myself when I'm upset, and I think it's like a storm in a teacup. Like, whoop-de-doo, it's not a big deal. But, you see, my opinion is that the demon out there, there's a force that if you're sensing something or feeling something, it's going to attack you if you think you're a certain way. You see, if you think it's that way, then that's how you'll be attacked. See, so therefore, in terms of how you express yourself, just do it, and you're going to find that it's no big deal. We used to film people in the past and give them like a 3-minute chance to read something or say something on a film, and then let them review themselves on film, and then they would get become less self-conscious. They realize, hey, they're not so bad after all. See what I mean? Because we're not. But that's why people don't express themselves, out of fear of how they're going to look to the public. You see. Fear of errors and mistakes and all that. And I got past that a long time ago. I know I'm not the greatest speaker per se in terms of resonant voice and all that business and stuff. I realize that because I'm a whiner, like Woody Allen says he's a whiner. And I get emotional and I start whining on. I don't stay resonant in my presentation. And I realize people can't stand it, but too bad. You know, I have some content. I think there's some substance. Even on, there was a gentleman that was on my call this morning. I said, well, it's basically people like who I am versus what I say. But then he said, and what I thought was some really fine wisdom, he said, look, that novelty would have worn off all a long time ago if there wasn't substance in the message. And I really appreciated that because that was one of the best things ever said to me, and I really appreciate it. See, things like that are really helpful and beneficial. So it is a matter of nurturing people and helping them along and giving them information, giving them what you feel would be correct or the truth in that moment in time. Because it is a special time when people will listen to what is being imparted. But if there's rubbish being imparted, then I think that's your responsibility. And people are irresponsible, albeit when they are at the podium or giving talks or communicating, I think they're doing their level best. They're doing the very best that they can. But I don't think they're considering all the facts in the matter. But they're, again, when you're doing the best you can, you are giving it consideration. But, again, there has to be accountability. There has to be questions if people don't get it or they don't understand or they don't agree. You see, like the religionists and philosophers and all that, they try to stand pat and here's the information, the newspapers or whatever. In my opinion, because the era where we're in right now, we call it the Iron Age, that there can never be anything in the media that's accurate. It's just all propaganda. They prefer to use the political correct term public relations now, but I'm calling it the way I see it, it's propaganda. It's just nonsense. You see what I mean? Albeit, I think that in higher eras, like golden ages and supposedly, and in Egypt was supposed to be in a golden age, and I somewhat agree with that in terms of however far back it goes. But during those times, when they do have media, that there could be some truth in it. But right now, I think probably 98% of it is just pure rubbish. See, that's why people bring me things all the time, and I criticize it and whatnot, because I'll give points, high points of why I'm giving it and elaborate on it, as you know, in terms of my opinion. And it is really awful stuff that's out there. It's just a constant flow of nonsense, especially in the economic worlds and the banking worlds. Boy, I'm telling you that they can weave webs and all sorts of silly stuff that goes on a constant basis. And people know, people get spam all the time from these Nigerian letters. I hate to use the term, because the Clinton administration put a damper on all of Africa, but China's been working with them for the past 5 or 10 years, and that's why the oil prices have dropped a bit here recently, because they're starting to extract the oil and the natural resources from mainland Africa. And why not? I mean, it's a huge continent. It can't be all foul, but they did that on purpose to keep the prices artificially lowered in terms of to be able to inflate it to make a profit, inflate what we do have, and not artificially lower them, but artificially raise them when we have less of a demand. You know, like if you have a bigger supply, then it costs less, you see. So if you keep the demand low, you keep an entire continent off the boards in terms of their resources. I apologize for getting that backwards. I do apologize for that, because it's actually the reverse, but I did cover it. But anyway, so an entire huge continent without resources, can you imagine the artificial raising of prices? You follow me on that, Gabrielle?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. I appreciate that. one word answer, a yes, right? Thank you. I've always, and she used to be a journalist and interviewing people, and her interviewees would give one word answer, and she's waiting for them to give some really extensive feedback.
Well, now I'm
torturing thank you, Gabrielle.
You
I really appreciate it.
Sorry.
Pardon?
Sorry.
And now I get tortured with the same thing you were tortured with, right?
That's correct. You're absolutely right. You have to give me something else to say.
Hey, well, I thought there was a lot of stimulus there. I thought that was some good stuff, you know? You know, I was picking on the Clinton administration. We may have a new Clinton administration. I don't know. Do you think America's ready for a female president? They got to copy England with the what's her name, you know, in the past. What was
Margaret
the female
Thatcher.
Prime Minister? Yeah, Thatcher, right.
Margaret Thatcher.
She really helped the economy. Yeah, thank you. Can you repeat it a third time and make me look even more foolish? Thank you very much. Anyway, yeah,
well,
so Margaret Thatcher really helped the economy of England. She completely flipped it around. The party at that time really helped England a great deal. I'm not saying Hillary will. I mean, the woman, apparently I heard she had a stroke, and I think Trump's health is not so great, and they're both pushing 70. So we knew Reagan's in the White House, perhaps, you know.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about either one of them. We'll see what happens is all I can say.
Well, Obama's a Bilderberger.
I think Bernie Sanders
Clintons,
is still
think...
out there trying to get the Democratic nomination, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, you like Bernie Sanders, don't you?
Well, I don't know if I like him. I'm saying he's out there. I don't know who I like. I don't, you know.
You said, come on, all right, whatever. You can do whatever you want. That's fine.
you going to talk about
what I
said to you in private?
Oh, yeah, well, I apologize. I apologize publicly for what you said in private. Like, you said you like Bernie Sanders, and I apologize for exposing
Gabrielle. I didn't
say I liked Gabrielle.
That's not what I said. I didn't say I liked Bernie
Sanders. Well,
we won't
have to worry about him. So he's never going to win the nomination. He's just a people favorite and whatnot, and it's just not going to happen. Bernie Sanders, I'll bet you $1 million right now, doesn't have a chance in H-E-L-L, okay?
No, it looks like it's going to be either Trump or Clinton.
Yeah, I think Hillary didn't make the presidency last time because she wasn't healthy. I think, you know, there were some rumors about her having a stroke, and she's been not in good shape, you know, and so I think that's why Obama got in there in the first place, in my opinion.
I think she's most likely going to win because, you know, she's got a really strong background in politics. So, one, she was in there as a first lady, and she was a very active first lady doing a lot of things instead of one of these laid-back first ladies. Her husband,
well, she's a lawyer, too.
Then she was... Yeah. What was she? She was senator in New York. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. I understand all that.
And then she was Secretary of State.
Right. But here's the issue. Really is about, don't forget big money. They're Bilderbergers, okay? And so is Obama. All that, and even Trump is too. So the game is whoever they want in there, whoever's the healthiest. You don't want some person dying at the podium, you know, especially if they're 70. So my opinion is the big money is pushing the whole thing, and that's it. That's the bottom line. The rest is some puppet in a bankrupt situation. I mean, I really don't really care about it, but since it's upcoming and people ask my opinion all the time, I really don't care. I'm just not involved with it one iota, because it's just puppetry in terms of American bankruptcy or international bankruptcy, you see. So it's just puppets being pulled by strings and rubbish. You know, it's just, I know there's a big fixation in America on the presidency. The movie, The American President with Michael Douglas years ago, I remember watching it in the theater. People were riveted on the screen and they were leaning forward out of their chairs. And the place was jammed. You know, I'm wondering, God, it's really amazing how iconic that whole thing is. I realized the huge focus on the whole thing. And so, therefore, I dressed it a little bit and say, "La vie, you know, good luck," and the H-E-L-L was it. So, that's my opinion. I don't care. I really, really don't care. And most Americans don't care either. I think it's like 17% voted in the popular vote anyway. So that means like 83% just don't give a damn, right? And I'm one of them, to be frank with you. Because we've got problems internationally with the bankruptcy. And that's going to continue under a uniform commercial code that people don't believe in. And my UK people, the irony of the whole thing is that UK courts deny the fact that it even exists most of the time. And then they're the writers of it. And the Lawyers Guild of London write the uniform commercial code. Isn't that ironic, you know? And then they deny it exists. You see what I mean? It's like you have a tree in your front yard and somebody says, oh, it's not really there. Okay? That's how stupid it is. It really is. It's pathetic. It's really pitiful that, but I understand why, because of the fact that we have this bankruptcy, we have this bankruptcy law, we're going to have that bankruptcy law probably forever because we can't implement the solvency. And people talk about solvency, but it's not going to happen. It just isn't until the banking community, which are basically ignorant people that don't really comprehend code violations of law and the specifics that I talk about, they just don't get that because they're into the money issue. Whether it is debt or credit, it doesn't matter. They're using the factor of purchasing power because they can buy homes and toys and all that sort of thing. They can care less about the breach of contract in terms of its references because it's too intellectually lofty for them. It's all eloquent information. It's just not, they're not able to grasp it and don't care. They like purchasing power. I want to go and buy my toys and everything, and I want my big salary and what have you, albeit it's all debt and rubbish. You see what I mean? It can continue that way for a long time. I'm not saying it's going to fail tomorrow. I'm not a doom and gloomer in reference to all that. I'm not about that. I don't think the economy is going to collapse and all that stuff you see online and all they want is donations and handouts and money from people when they're blathering on about crap. You see what I mean? It's like Foster Gamble and Michael Tellinger and all those people. They go to great extents because they have money by their middle of money people. They have enough that they're very wealthy and they can spend a lot of money on like Thrive and Gamble's, Foster Gamble is Procter & Gamble's of that family. He has this group called Thrive and spends millions of dollars on this silly matrix called a Taurus. And I make a joke and call it a moving donut, basically. He doesn't like the fact of calling it a donut, right? He likes the idea of a Taurus, right? the Greek word torus, meaning it's a circular object that looks like a donut. But it's in motion. It's a matrix that he puts in terms of real fancy point thing they show online and whatnot. And it is this film of it, and he spent lots of money on it. It's just ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. It really is. It's like, time out, go, get away from me. I don't want to hear about it. I investigated. I read all this stuff. I went online. It's all contradictory. I'm asking, what is the center of what you're doing? What's in the center of the Taurus? And then they say the Weltanschauung, you know, in terms of the worldview. And then the worldview is now synonymous with the Tan Shin that's in your stomach, you know, supposedly the essence of the soul and Buddhism and what have you. And I'm going, well, I don't understand what you're talking about, you know. It's one big contradiction. It's not like I don't investigate and read things. People think I just shove it in the background and don't study things. I study it thoroughly, more so than what they know. It's just really hilarious. So it's not like I don't pay attention to these things. I read fast and see things and I glean things, and I can see it all. But they don't like it when I start criticizing that. But don't put it out there if you don't want to be criticized. But most of the time people don't. They just fall prey to all their blather, you see? And then they do a lot of ridiculous things. I mean, they're a dime a dozen out there in terms of it. But in my situation, I don't charge any money. I don't take your money. I remember the joke I made a couple of years ago about the fact that I said that I'll give you my rubbish for free, but other people, they charge you for it. Right? All right. The way I put it online or on the recordings, I said, I'll give you my inadequacies for free, but other people charge you for their inadequacies, right? The rubbish makes it quicker, right? And more funny, too. The rubbish is even funnier. Anyway, so you have any comments? That's a lot of information. You can comment on some of that, right? I put politics and domestic politics. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm glad that they didn't start a chain called Dunkin' Tauruses.
Yeah, Dunkin' Tauruses, well done. Yeah, and the name of his group is Thrive, T-H-R-I-V, Thrive, right?
Well,
join up Thrive.
What's
your $5,000? What's that?
At least the name has a positive connotation to it.
Well, all these groups have positive connotations. You have Amway in America is now called New Start, to reposition New Start. Wow, that's really cool. But it says Amway, you know, I mean, really. And I always said, you don't even have to do that. Amway has a bad reputation, but just go back to the original name, American Way. Nobody will know what that means. And Amway is just a shortened form of that. Why not just go call it American Way? I mean, that's good. That's a good name. It sounds clean. But Amway is equivalent to insurance salesman. We're talking about Jesus. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now, right? Oh, my. Funny stuff. Wow, this guy is really funny, isn't he? What a comedian he really is, ultimately.
Yeah. I hope we're recording the show, so.
Yeah, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Big time. I know. Well, it's not. I didn't set that all up. People, they start throwing up when you hear certain topics. You know, it's not my. I didn't create that mess. You know, as soon as you start talking about things in the marketplace, people start running. You know, and they fall on deaf ears. So you know, start witnessing people and see where it gets you. It's a lot of trouble. You know, and I think there are topics that interest people a lot more than talking about insurance, right, or Amway, right? Help! Oh, my. So, there you have it. So, there, like I said, there's a lot of positive names, but so what? You know, what are they selling? What are they up to? And as they were saying online this morning, well, people are always selling something because that's the nature of the world. I say, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to exploit people. I won't do it. You know, I'm involved with what I'm involved with and the way I make my way, and for better or worse or indifferent, you see what I mean? So my opinion of gaining profit from the masses is something is terribly wrong with that, especially when they charge so much for food and what have you, and they raise the prices and try to live on a profit. And people talked years ago about other people's money doing investments at least and not just raising the price of food or whatever the ticker sticker price of something is and raise it up to gouge the marketplace. People work really hard for the money on a daily basis. Why do they want to buy a watermelon for $100? You know, I mean, it gets to be ridiculous because you're trying to become rich on profit. It's just absurd. In the world of investment, that's somewhat no better because you're not really going to get much on the gains of your investments. But that's a long-winded financial discussion too. But surely you shouldn't be bothered with raising the price of food. People are starving to death because of that because things are too expensive. It really is ridiculous, in my opinion, that people think they're going to get rich on profit. Or businesses or grocery markets like Whole Foods that sell food that's just ridiculous price, and they keep raising the prices and never is lowered. What are they doing? You know, big change and just raise the prices and do the circular, ridiculous part about the spinning circle of money in the marketplace. You know, robbing Peter to pay Paul, the competition worlds are ridiculous. You know, if you learn how to create instead of competing. So they don't understand that. One iota. It's really ridiculous. So I have 3.5 minutes to try to waste time with. Do you have anything that you want to put in there that isn't a waste? I was saying about me, not you.
I didn't say that whatsoever. But
well, I said about me.
The problem is people don't understand about doing things just for the purpose of giving to people and outflowing to people. And, you know, they're all tied up in the monetary aspect of society. And we're all involved in the monetary aspect of the society, but it's just that, you know, you have founded another way of finances rather than gouging people by doing things that you think would be helpful to them. So if that's very unclear what I said, but you know,
it's actually very well said. Thank you.
Thank you. But so I think that's important. I mean, and maybe our audience isn't the largest in the universe here on this Blog Talk Radio show, but it's a pretty good audience. And, you know, it's the 100th monkey. So eventually that information will reach that 100th monkey and it will spread out within the universe and other people will get the idea that, hey, you can do things without, you know, trying to, you know, make a dime off of everybody. And, you know, instead think about your fellow man and what they might be needing and what can you give to them.
Well, that's why I keep thinking in terms of when Waddles talks about in The Science of Getting Rich, chapter 14, the impression of increase, I think it's very important. But people forget that because they become introverted and selfish and narcissistic and non-facilitating and not helpful. You know, the Good Samaritan is thrown out the window because they were trying to get in line at the grocery store. Anyway, we're getting down to the last part of the show. Thank you, Gabrielle, for being on the show each week. I really appreciate your presence, and your commentary was very shrewd this week. I really appreciate it.
Well, yeah, thank you for the opportunity. As always, I appreciate it.
All right. Well, it was a lot of fun. I think we had some fun this week.
I think so. I think we usually have fun.
Yeah, I blew the intro right out of the gate. That was a good joke to start, right? I think I'll blow the intro every week because it's funny, don't you think? Well, most of the time I do it anyway, right?
Oh, it's
yeah, all
those
straight laced. consistently blow the intro. I think I'll just establish that each week. It'll be funny that way, right? And then they say, "Oh, well, Grant, we knew Grant was stupid all along anyway, right?" Okay.
Nonsense.
All right, so let me thank the journeymen that come each week and the new people that come online. I really appreciate it because I'm here to try to be a service to give out some joy and happiness and good information. I think it's very important. So have a great week, and this is Grant Taylor Hughes. and that interference there. And goodbye for now. See you next week.